I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. You know, let's just give him some praise this morning. He has been faithful. When you think back at your life and you look at what God has done, it's, God, you've been so good to me. God, in the ups and in the downs, in the good and the bad, in my failures and your successes, God, you have been so good to me. You've been faithful, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's something about when I think of God's faithfulness that in the moment, it's hard to understand because it's like, boy, when I'm going through, God doesn't feel very faithful. But when I get through it, I look back like, wow, he was faithful. And I'm building on that. And so now the next time that something happens, I'm going to take my step and be like, he was faithful last time. And I'm going to step out in faith, trusting that he's going to be faithful this time because he's a faithful God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You could be seated this morning. Our series this month is on, the series three is The Spirit Lives in Our Lives. And so because the series about the Holy Spirit is inside of us, what is it for? How does it help? What does it bring or provide? What are the effects of the Spirit in our life? Last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Pastor Jerry preached about that. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And this week we're going to talk about spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. I do like to, whenever I'm using resources outside of, you know, just prayer and hearing from God and all that, I like to make sure they're referenced. So as a part of this, this is a big lesson, right? We're talking about spiritual gifts. There's seminars that go weekends to talk about this. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay very high level. I'm going to get into some weeds on a couple things, right? We're going to stay very high level. And actually, Pastor has a series coming up on spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about. So we're looking forward to that as well. But, you know, there's some great resources out there. Dr. David Bernard, he's the general superintendent for the United Pentecostal Church International. He has a book on spiritual gifts. He's got a podcast, and they've had five or six episodes where they reference spiritual gifts. There's a great little book, if you like one, called On Being Pentecostal. Talks about a lot of different things, our history, why we do what we believe, the things we do. Talks about spiritual gifts in there. And in fact, if you've been through an Exploring God's Word Bible study or a Search for Truth Bible study, one of the more, not like the 2 or 3 hour Bible studies, but the ones where you meet every week for a couple months, they have great information on that. And so some of what we've got here today is from some of those resources, so I want to make sure to give them credit. But let's open our text for the morning, 1 Corinthians 12:31. And the first verse, we're going to be reading, I'm going to be reading from the New King James, which you're going to see is the King James. You'll see a little bit of a difference there. New King James tries to clean up some of the these and nows a little bit more. Okay, but we're going to read through this and we'll start. This is our passage for the day. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire the best gifts. This is in 1 Corinthians 12. It's at the end of the chapter. And at the end of the chapter, the beginning of the chapter, it starts out talking about these spiritual gifts. And then it goes on through the whole chapter, and it's at the end, it says, desire these gifts. You should try to have these gifts. You should try to have them in your life, right? So I think it's important to understand what the spiritual gifts are. And I also think it's important at this moment to distinguish between some different aspects of the Holy Spirit before we dig into the spiritual gifts. So as we see in Acts, right, when we have followed the path of salvation and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, it's in Acts, in Acts 2:38, they were filled with, Acts 2:1-4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spake with other tongues. We see it with Cornelius, we see it with Paul, we see it in a number of instances in the New Testament where people were filled with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of that was being speaking in tongues. That is, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what that is taught, is spoken of. That's a phrase we use, which is different, we want to clarify, than spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit when it is living and working inside of us, okay? So that's one thing, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 12, we learn about natural giftings or talents. Paul talks about, you know, everybody has natural giftings or talents. My wife and I are very different people. She has some giftings and talents I don't have. You know, organization and really caring and nurturing and some of those things. I'm not great at those things. But I can hold a mic, and that's not something she would prefer to do most times, right? And so, now holding a mic isn't very hard, right? But like teaching, or like for me, I like to teach, whether it's my children or the people I work with, or even here, it's just a something that's natural that God has given me, right? So there's these natural giftings or talents, whether it be serving or teaching. This is all mentioned in Romans. Exhorting, encouraging, comforting, giving, leading, showing mercy cheerfully, right? It's, and what's interesting is this list is includes mostly natural human abilities that God just, hey, this person, you're going to have a little bit more of this to start out because I need that, right, in my kingdom. Some skills and talents that God gives us at birth, these can be grown and improved on with the help of the Holy Spirit. But the basis of these is typically like a natural ability. Okay, to some extent, every mature Christian should be able to function in these areas. Yet some will have more natural strength in some of these than others. So we talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and now we're talking about natural giftings and talents. These are both different than spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Last week, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Once again, the fruit of the Spirit is not the gift of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are the character and nature of Jesus Christ being shown in a believer's life. So we are bearing fruit as we grow. The Bible talks in Psalms 1, if we are planted by the rivers of water, we will bring forth fruit in our season, right? And so that fruit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And you know what? We're not all perfect at that. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit better at, faith, but I'm not so great at long-suffering, right? But we're working on those, and as the Spirit works in us, they are shown in our lives. There's fruit. You can start to see, wow, since Peter came to the Lord, he's started to show more love in his life. He's had more compassion. And it's like, that's the Spirit working in us, right? So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruits. So we're judged by our fruits. We're not judged by our gifts. Okay, so key note there. As we grow in Christ and the Spirit of God works in us, growing us, we develop into more and more mature Christians. That's what fruit does. Fruit matures us. Gifts do not. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul is reprimanding the church for failing to develop spiritual fruit. He's saying, you're just kind of sitting around like babies. You're not trying to grow in the Spirit. You're not becoming more loving. You're not becoming more caring. You're not becoming more giving. You're not becoming more long-suffering or patient. He's like, we got to grow. That's the whole purpose of this, is growing, right? In Ephesians, we read about the offices of the church, where it says, once again, not the spiritual gifts. The offices are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. These are God-given leaders, positions to equip all believers. They inspire, they motivate, they disciple, they instruct, and they train. So we just talked about different aspects of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the natural giftings and talents that God gives to everybody. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And we just talked about the offices of the church. And now we want to talk about spiritual gifts. That's our topic for today. So let's roll into 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Sorry about that, Jane. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So, pause here. Paul is writing to a church in Corinth. Now, a lot of these letters are because they were writing to him and saying, hey, here's what's going on, you know. And he's like, whoa, hold on. There's something we got to talk about. And so something in their letter, something they said to him or he heard back from them, caused him to say, okay, we got to talk about spiritual gifts here. There's some things we got to make sure we're clear on. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And now he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's difference of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. He's saying that there's different types of gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There's different types of ministries. We all have different talents. All these things, we all have a little bit different. Some of us might have similar to others, but there's different things, but they all come from God. They all come from the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, the giftings, the spiritual gifts, the purpose of them is to profit the church. Okay, we'll get more into that. For the profit of all. For to one, and this is where he starts to list the 9 spiritual gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Capital He. The Spirit distributes these spiritual gifts to people as he wills. And so some lessons here we're going to just mine out of this before we dig into some of these spiritual gifts is that we're not supposed to be ignorant about these gifts. We should know what they are. We should expect them to be operating in the church. That's what Jesus said, right? Gifts are a profit to the church. They help us grow. They make us better. They make us more effective in accomplishing our mission, which is to manifest the body of Christ on earth, to assist in evangelizing the world, to edify and deliver God's people when in trouble, and to perfect the church. Gifts are to profit the church. Profit, profit, not prophet like the prophets. I'm talking about like profit, like money. That's a hard one to clarify. Profit the church. We learn that spiritual gifts are for today. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, this is him opening up his letter to this church in Corinth, and he goes, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. He's saying, this is to the church in Corinth and to anybody who calls on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We all do that, right? We're calling on the name of Jesus Christ, so this is to us, right? But then in verse 7, it says, so that you come short in no gift. Verse 7, so you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, until Jesus Christ comes back, don't be short in gifts. You're supposed to keep using these gifts. I've given you these gifts. In fact, we read in Mark 16:16-18, when he's leaving, he's like, go therefore and teach the gospel to the living creatures. And he goes, and go out there and heal the sick. He said, go out there, cast out demons. I'm expecting you to do this. So the gifts are for today. We learn that this is not a natural gifting. This is not something I have the proclivity for or go to school for. This is not something I have earned. Instead, this is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives me. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who had heard him. God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We can't neglect this. This is something that's supposed to be a part of what we do. It's a gift. It's, even using the word gift is interesting because it's not something that's earned. You don't earn gifts. If you earned it, it wouldn't be called a gift, right? In fact, if you go to the Greek in the New Testament, every time they reference the baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit, like the gift of the Holy Spirit, they use a different word than when they say gift when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. One is doria and the other one is charisma. So even when this was written so long ago, they're like, we need to distinguish this. Yeah, the English people that use the word gift for everything might be a little bit confusing to them, but we want to make sure that when we're talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God coming to live inside of us, we're going to use doria. But when we're talking about the spiritual gifts, which is the Spirit working through us to do supernatural things, we're going to use a different word so people know these are not the same. These are works of God. They're manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These gifts of the Spirit are a continuation of the ministry of Jesus shown through his disciples today. He started something and he told his disciples, go out there and do what I did. In fact, in John 14:12, look what it says. He's talking to his disciples. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. But he didn't stop there. He said, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. He didn't say, hey, when I'm gone, these works will stop. These healings, these prophecies, these words of wisdom, these words of knowledge, they're going to stop. He said, no, no, no. You disciples are going to do better. You're going to do greater things. You should expect to do greater things than what you're seeing from me right now. And then we mentioned it earlier, but Mark 16:17, let's go there. 16:7, it says, and he said to them, go into. So this is right as Jesus is about to ascend and leave his disciples, right? And he's not telling them, well, it's done now. We're good. I did everything we were supposed to do. He's saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then he takes it a step further. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus is clearly saying that these gifts weren't just for him, and they weren't just for the disciples. This is for us until he comes back. And so let's dig into these gifts, and I'll give you a high level on each of these gifts here. If you could bring up that chart, we have a chart that I think is really beneficial. This comes from the Search for Truth Bible Study. That's why the art is super duper old. Yes. Raquel, we should make our own one of these at some point. This would be really cool to have, especially if Pastor's about to do a series. So there's nine gifts, and really they kind of break into three different groups, right? We have the revelation gifts or the knowing gifts. We have the power gifts or the doing gifts. And we have the inspiration gifts or the speaking gifts, okay? And we're going to go into these. I'm going to start with the revelation gifts or knowing. So a word of wisdom. So each one of these is the nine things mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. A word of wisdom is a special portion of divine insight or guidance or judgment for a particular need or situation. It's a revelation of God's divine intelligence and understanding. This does not mean, Brother Thompson, that if you get the word, hey, good to see you guys. If you get the word of wisdom, you now have all of God's wisdom for all of time. No, instead this is saying, hey, in this one specific situation, Brother Thompson, we're going to give you some, God's going to give you wisdom to how to handle this situation. This gift is used to help solve human problems, guide the church, testify before believers. Remember Mark 10, we talked about this a couple months ago. The Spirit will give you the words you need to say. It helps give wisdom to deliver from harm, warn of judgment to come, confirm a missionary call, reveal the future. You see this gift a lot of times, although it can be anybody, but you see this a lot of time in the pastor. God gives a pastor a word of wisdom and says, and I go into his office and say, Pastor, I want to do this. He's like, you know, I'm feeling from God that that is not what we should do. It's like, okay, yes, sir. An example of the word of wisdom, this specific, and I'm going to use the word supernatural a lot because it's not just, hey, Pastor Roy's been around a long time and he's got some great wisdom. And No. This is a supernatural wisdom to handle an event or a situation, right? An example of this is Paul's insight and advice concerning the shipwreck that occurred in Acts 27. He gives them advice on what to do. I'm not going to go into all the examples, but, you know, this is a Bible study and we should all be doing Bible studies on our own, so you can go back and take a note and go back through these, read through 1 Corinthians, find some of these examples if you want. Maybe get some of these books you could see at the Pentecostal Publishing House. Great opportunities. So that's the word of wisdom, a specific supernatural revelation of God's intelligence and understanding for a specific situation. A word of knowledge, different than the word of wisdom, because the word of wisdom kind of says this is kind of how you should go about doing something. Right? A word of knowledge is a special portion of divine information for a particular need. It's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Ghost of certain facts that could not be known otherwise. So that's where I might be counseling somebody. I'm going to point to my wife so I don't point to anybody. But maybe we don't counsel my wife. But if I'm counseling my wife, God might reveal to me and say, hey, there's something in her life that, and I would have never known that, right? And God gives me this piece of information so I can share it with her to help her in her situation. It might reveal the facts of one life for spiritual correction. It might reveal facts or information to counsel with people. It might assist in soul winning. You might be out there trying to win souls or helping people. And God might give you a word of knowledge and say, hey, this person's had a traumatic past. They've gone through some abuse. Or they're an alcoholic. Or there's something. And you would have never known that. Not because they're walking around, they look like that. Or they got needles sticking out of their arm. It's just they look like a normal person. But God might say, hey, there's something here. And he gives you a word of knowledge. A specific piece of information that no one would ever, that you could have never known. An example of this is Peter's supernatural knowledge of the secret sin of Ananias and Sapphira. They come up and they say, hey, he's like, did you give everything? He's like, yeah, this is everything. We sold our farm and this is all the money. And God gave Peter a word of knowledge and said, no, they didn't. They only gave half. Peter would have no idea of knowing that. But God gave them, the Spirit working in Peter gave him a word of knowledge. The last, and I'm kind of going backwards, I guess, but the last of the knowing gifts or the revelation gifts is the discerning of spirits. It's a special ability to perceive the spiritual motivations for an action or what type of spirit is at work. It's really a supernatural insight into the secret realms of spirits. Instead of seeing a situation and be like, well, that person's just ornery, the discerning of my spirits might say, hey, there's a spirit that's speaking into that person's life. Or maybe that person is possessed. Very different things, right? It's a whole different series. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. We all have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And this is a whole different lesson, but I listened to somebody recently, and they were talking about how we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and sometimes we're walking through town, and we start to feel something, and we think that's us. But it's not. It's not us. We're sensing something. And if we would just say, God, what am I sensing? Is that me? What is that? God might say, hey, there's somebody in this area that's struggling with depression. It's not you. There's somebody in this area that's struggling with anxiety. Be like, oh, okay. I'm starting to sense that, right? Test the spirits. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. This gift, the gift of discerning of spirits, can help detect what is true and false. It's kind of like a police gift, if you could. That's kind of a bad phrase. But it helps prevent the devil from causing problems in the church, because something might come up and somebody has the discerning of spirits and say, nope, that is not of God. That is clearly of something that is coming against God. And so they're able to discern that. The gifts aid in the deliverance of the afflicted and discover and exposes Satan's servants. An example is Peter with Simon the sorcerer, and he discerned the intent of his heart. Simon was saying he wanted to do something, and Peter goes, nope, I know your heart. This is not what's going on. And he called him out on it. So those are the knowing gifts. The doing gifts, gifts of healing. Various forms of miraculous cures and restorations from illnesses, disease, injuries, and other impairments. Supernatural healing of all types of diseases and infirmities, like organic, functional, nervous, acute, or chronic, without natural means of any sort. This is the gift of healing. It's Jesus walked around doing what? Healing people. And then he commanded his disciples to heal people in Matthew 10:8. It was part of the Great Commission in Mark 16:18. We read it. And so Jesus walks around healing. He tells his disciples, heal. We see Peter and John at the gate of the temple heal. And there's expected to be spiritual gifts of healing in our church. Not just when Brother Bustard comes through. This is not relegated to Brother Bustard. This is for the church to benefit and profit the church. The second doing gift is working of miracles, which is the direct intervention of God transcending the typical operation of nature in a situation, working through or with a human vessel. So it's like a supernatural act where God kind of breaks the rules. Oh, you think the sun's supposed to, you know, come down? Well, I'm going to make it stay in the sky for 3 days. That's what he did for Joshua, right? It's where God breaks the rules. He opened the Red Sea. That's never been done before, right? That's deliverance. He made oil and meal for a widow in a jar that no one was touching. He's breaking the rules. He's working a miracle, something that does not make sense. It's supernatural where God acts and intervenes in the realm of nature, objects, and the affairs of men to supersede, I say break the natural law. But he made the law, so he's really not breaking it. He's just like, you don't even fully understand it. It's also used in judgment in the New Testament. Elymas. We'll just go with that. The sorcerer was blinded by a miracle. Philip was transported, literally, like you see in Star Trek. He was just like, it probably wasn't the fuzz like you see, but he was transported from one place to the next. These are miracles where God is using supernatural intervention to kind of change the rules for a moment or for a period of time. Other examples are, we see Dorcas in Acts 9, verse 40. Dorcas is brought back to life. Eutychus is brought back to life in Acts 20. Faith, the third doing gift, a special ability to trust God or to inspire trust in God for a particular need or circumstance. This isn't just a positive person.
well, this guy's super positive. He always believes. Peter, you got a good attitude. No, no, no. This is the gift of faith. It's supernatural. And it's distinguished from saving faith. It's not like, God, I believe you're my Savior, and I repent, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That's saving faith. We're talking about supernatural, the gift of faith. Peter and John with the lame man again, operating in the gift of faith, as well as we talked about the gift of healing. Paul's supernatural faith during his shipwreck. There was no reason he should have believed that this was going to work out. He's like, no, God is with us. I'm moving quickly because I see the time and I want to get to the end here. So, but it's good for us to go through these. Inspiration gifts are the speaking gifts. We talk about the diverse kinds of tongues, a miraculous utterance in one or more languages unknown to the speaker, a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in a language not understood or ever learned by the speaker and rarely understood by the hearers. I say rarely because there has been situations. I had a friend of mine who was speaking in tongues in service, and a woman in front of him said, thank you for sharing with me. And he goes, what? And she goes, yeah, you were just said all this stuff to me. He's like, I had no idea. She spoke whatever language it was he was doing. It happened right here, like three rows back. The diverse kinds of tongues, like we talked about earlier, should be distinguished from speaking in tongues as the initial evidence of receiving the Spirit. It should also be distinguished from speaking to God in our personal prayer and worship. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue or in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Paul's saying, yeah, you're going to get the Holy Ghost, and you should be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but also you should be praying in the Holy Ghost. You should be praying in tongues because it edifies you. It builds you up. It strengthens you. So that's two. And then the third one is using tongues to address the church. But it says in this verse that it must be accompanied by interpretation. All the other gifts, it's like the gift of whatever, the gift of whatever. And then in verse 4, in chapter 14, it goes into detail and it says that the gift of tongues has to operate with the gift of interpretation. Because if I'm just up here speaking in tongues and going crazy, no one's going to understand it. It's going to cause confusion in the church. And so there must be an interpretation of that. And if we're going to go a step further, and we can just step in here, Pastor Al, you'll probably get to this, but I think it's important for us to note it. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, it says, let all things be done for edification, for building up, right? If anyone speaks with a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So that means if there is a tongues, there needs to be two or three before an interpretation can happen. That's what the Bible is saying here. Okay? We want to make sure we keep things in order and in order. And so we talked about diverse kinds of tongues. Interpretations of tongues is coupled with diverse kinds of tongues. It's a supernatural explanation of the Spirit of the meaning of the utterance that was given. So if I'm at home praying in tongues, my wife is not going to run around the corner and all of a sudden give a interpretation. Right? This is me speaking in tongues to God and edifying, like it said, like we read in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, right? This is for though when tongues is being, is we're addressing the church, when someone, you've heard it in this church, when somebody, maybe the service gets a little quieter and somebody starts speaking in tongues, and then there's a second person, there has to be a second person, let's be clear on that, and maybe a third, but it says no more than three, then somebody would give an interpretation. And it's interesting because it says interpretation, not translation. That's why sometimes the tongues or the interpretation, one can be longer or shorter than the other, right? It's an interpretation of what the Spirit is trying to say to the church. And the last gift, the inspiration gift, is prophecy, which is a supernatural utterance directly from God in the language of the speaker and the hearer, declaring that which cannot be known by natural means. We've seen that in this church, Pastor. We've seen prophets come through. Brother Aaron Wright came through and prophesied. Brother Morton Bustard came through and prophesied. Many others have come through and given prophecies to this church. The primary purpose of the gift of prophecy is to minister to believers through edification, exhortation, and to comfort, or to build up, to strengthen, and to console. Those are the nine spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 and in 14. All of these spiritual gifts come directly from God. They're God working inside of us. Remember, this is not a talent. This is not earned, right? It is a gift. And we read at the end of chapter 14, if we could go there, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And then in verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." There should be an order to everything we do. We have to be careful that there is not confusion in the church. And so if we're going to talk about order and not having confusion in the church, who do you think that that falls on? Our pastor. The pastor is responsible. He should have the oversight of the operation of the spiritual gifts that occur in this church. So pastor, I know this, but sometimes people come through and I'm sure that they talk to you and they say, "Hey, this is what I feel to give to God." And pastor has, he's oversight of the church. He'd be like, "Go for it. If that's what God's given you, speak it." Right? Because they know they are submitting to the pastor, to the pastor or the shepherd of this church. And so our pastor has the spiritual oversight. And so pastor, we submit to you. If we're doing something that's not right with spiritual gifts, because we want to have them. We don't want to be afraid to see spiritual gifts in this church, but you are, pastor is our oversight. That's why I'm excited for this series coming up. Okay. After those first 11 verses where he says, I'm going to skip back here. After first 11 verses where it ends and he goes, sorry, I lost my place. There it is. He says, but one in the same spirit worketh all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I'm going to let you go read this all on yourselves. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 26, all of a sudden he starts talking about, for we're all one body. The church is a body, a collection of people, members doing something together. And some of you are hands, and some of you are elbows, and some of us are knees, and some of us are bellies, and some of us are... You know what none of us are? The head. He talks about how we need all of us. We need people with the gifts of healing. We need people with the gifts of prophecy. We need people with the gifts of discerning of spirits and tongues and interpretation. We need all these. And there's some lessons he's giving us in all this. So if he's telling us we're the body of Christ, now that might seem a little bit weird, but let me put it in normal terms. It's just saying we all have different roles, right? We talk. What do they say at school? They call it a student body, right? That's the group of students that make up that class or that education, right? So we're the church body or a body of believers. But it says Christ is the head. In Colossians 1:18, it says he is the head of the body, comma, the church. He put all things under his feet and he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church. And so in this 1 Corinthians 12, we're learning some lessons here that we have a role to fulfill. Too often we sit there and say, well, you know, Pastor Roy is so good at preaching, maybe your role isn't preaching, that's okay. There is a role that God has for you, and there are gifts that God wants to give us. We have a role to fulfill. We also learn that we're all important. It says all members of the body are important. Don't think because one is smaller or greater or used more or used less that they're not important. All members of the body are important. But then it says we all must work together. This has to be something we're doing together. There has to be unity in what we're doing. That's why we submit to our pastor and we submit to God. And Christ is the head and we follow his leading. And so our lesson text, 1 Corinthians 12:31. What does this mean for us, right? I read all that stuff, and that feels very big. I mentioned like Brother Bustard and Brother Wright, and I named some names, right? And that seems a lot. Well, good. I'm glad they're operating in the gifts. But we still have to reconcile with this verse, 1 Corinthians 12:31, that says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." We got to reconcile with that because it's not just for everybody else. It's not just for people with ties and people that are out there like doing prophecy. God expects this to happen in the church. But you know what? Everything's got to have the proper motivation. This has to be motivated by love. Okay, let's take a step back. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Spirit. Here's the things you got to do. 1 Corinthians 14, gifts of the Spirit. He's thinking, what's the chapter in between that? 13, the marriage chapter. Oh, wait, that's not the marriage chapter. That's God saying, that's Paul, but God through Paul saying, you need to have spiritual gifts. You're all one body. You got to work together. This is about edifying the church. This is about winning the lost. This is about winning the lost. This is about edifying the church. There can't be confusion. Oh, by the way, if there's not love, it's not going to make a difference. Everything has to be pushed forward by love. Everything has to be motivated by love. Otherwise, it's pride. It's me wanting to look good. It's me wanting to sound, God, give me that gift. I want to prophesy and, you know, do cool things. Everything must be properly motivated by love. And so if we're supposed to earnestly desire the best gifts, how do we do that? Well, I would direct you to the Apostolic Life in the 21st Century podcast by Dr. David Bernard. There's an episode on how to pursue spiritual gifts. It's 11 minutes long. And if you skip through the first 2 minutes, which are essentially a commercial, and he tells you to read all his books, which are very good books, it's like a 9-minute podcast. Okay? You spend more time than that flipping through YouTube. So really great. But I'm going to go through it, what he talked about. If we're going to seek spiritual gifts, number one, we should focus on a healthy spiritual life. We should focus on our spiritual disciplines, which are daily prayer life, studying God's word, going to church faithfully, fellowship with God's people, hearing, preaching, and teaching the word of God, supporting the church with tithes and offerings, sharing our testimony. We got to walk before we can run. We're all, yes, we want to pursue spiritual gifts, but it's like, God, I want to prophesy. God's like, you don't even pray, dude. How are you going to hear from me if you're not talking to me? Well, that's a good point, God. I didn't really think of that one. Right? We're supposed to pursue holiness, be led of the Spirit, love others, bear fruit. And then, in that context, we are to pursue spiritual gifts. Not when you've achieved it all. He's not saying, when you are fully mature and have every fruit present in your life at all times, you may proceed to pursue spiritual gifts. He's like, but when you are focusing on a healthy spiritual life, the gifts will come. So number one, we focus on a healthy spiritual life. Number two, we pray and ask God for spiritual gifts. He literally says, pursue and desire the best gifts. So one, we focus on the basics. We focus on our spiritual disciplines and our healthy life and living a life of holiness, being led by the Spirit. Two, we pray, we ask God for spiritual gifts. And the last one's the key one. We find ways to minister to people. I went to a seminar one time by a non-Pentecostal church out in Colorado. This guy was awesome. And he said, if you will put yourself between God and the broken, God will work through you. If we will put ourselves between God and the need, God will work through us. And so the third step of pursuing gifts, number one, these are the 3 points of the whole lesson, is focus on our healthy spiritual life, our disciplines, pray and ask God for spiritual gifts, and go where the needs are. Go get in the mess. Go get in the muck. Because God can't use me for a word of knowledge if I'm by myself in my house with my video games. God's not going to use me for a gift of healing if I'm not letting people tell me at work that they need a prayer request. They have something to pray. And I'm like, you know what? I'll bring you to church and my pastor will pray. No, I'm going to pray for you right now. Maybe nothing happens, but I'm putting myself between God and the need. And God works through that as a vessel. The apostolic church in Acts was characterized by signs and wonders that attracted people to the gospel and enabled the church to grow. But this is still for us today. We are apostolic. We follow what the apostles did. We do what Jesus did. And so God is calling Calvary Gospel Church to move forward, to grow, to be perfected, to be mature, to pursue spiritual gifts while submitting to our pastor. Let's all stand. I apologize in hindsight for how fast I talk. This is a long lesson. Like I said, this could be a couple weekend seminar. I'm excited. That's why I called Pastor Ryan. I'm like, you said you were doing a series? He's like, yeah. I said, oh, good. I'm going to mention it so people, right? This is just getting our feet wet on spiritual gifts. There's so much here. There's so much richness in the Gospels, in the Bible, in Acts, in the New Testament, where you see this all working out. And when you start looking at it through the perspective of that's not for them only, it's for us. It's for our church, for our community. God wants to use us in spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. Church, we have a power. God's Spirit lives inside of us. It's working inside of us. We're going to be bearing fruit as we grow, right? But there's also going to be giftings. And so let's focus on our spiritual walk. Let's pray and ask God for giftings, and let's put ourselves in the needy, in the way of the needy. His Spirit's inside of us. We should be working and through us for his good purpose. Let's pray. Thank you, God, so much for today. Oh, God, thank you for your Spirit that's working in our lives. God, Lord, we want to pursue spiritual gifts today. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts and our mindsets, God, so we would begin to pursue the things of you, so we don't get comfortable or accepting of the way things are, and that this is okay and this is cool, but that you have so much more for us, so much more for this church, that you want us to be just like the apostles in Acts, God, that this is a church that makes a difference, that we are a people that makes a difference, God, that calls people to you. God, Lord, have your way in this church. God, challenge us. Work in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go get your children from class. Greet somebody that you haven't met or haven't seen in a while. God bless.